It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
And Satellite Guys, welcome to another exciting Satellite Guys.us podcast. And you know, that was an awesome opening to the Olympics, and I cannot believe what I saw. How about you, Scott?
Oh, the thing that freaked me out was the movable text. Where they had a bunch of boxes and it looked like it was popping up in the air, up and down, and making all these neat designs and forms. I thought it was all hydraulics because the heights on everything was perfect when they raised something up or something went down, and it was just perfect. And come to find out, there were people in those boxes. It was amazing. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah, I know. I liked it when they went ahead and lit the cauldron and how the guy was running across the upper side of the arena there, and it looked like slow motion as behind him was the video of all the Olympic torch relays across the world.
Yeah, that was probably the only part that they messed up, because if you noticed in one section of it, he actually ran out past where the scroll was rolling out, and they had to slow him down to catch him back up again because he was running too fast.
Yeah, that was definitely, it was a great, great Olympics for the opening ceremony. And, you know, we're over here winning medals now. Go Team USA. And, you know, I can't wait for the closing ceremonies. I want to see how China's going to one-up those opening ceremonies.
Yeah, I watched the opening ceremonies, and I watched mine on Bell Express View, which is now Bell TV. They changed their name this week. And I watched the opening ceremonies. It was almost 4 hours long, if not a little longer than that, and it was beautiful, and they only had like four or five commercial breaks for the entire thing, and I wish I could say the same about NBC, which seemed to take a break every 6 minutes, and the Parade of Nations, they really butchered that. They basically, don't know if you noticed it, but they just keep repeating the audio in the background, the same music over and over and over again. And, you know, they would show all the teams, but they wouldn't show them walking past. They would just go from team to team to team to team to speed things up. And they also cut a lot of the official type stuff where the president of China was talking and some flag stuff and all the other stuff. They cut that out of the NBC broadcast. So kind of disappointing to see what NBC's done with it so far. Because after seeing it on ExpressView and then seeing it live, it was quite a difference between the two.
Yeah, I caught it over on a wild feed off of the internet from Justin TV. The actual feed itself was coming from Europe because here in the States, NBC decided that they didn't want to show the feed live, which I thought was the wrong call. And it ended up turning out that NBC went that way due to sponsor reasons and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, every 6 minutes he had stupid ads on TV. It kind of ruined the entire art feel of the thing, because what they were trying to do was tell you a story of China and all the great inventions they made and how they progressed through the years, and that was really lost on the NBC broadcast because of all the commercials and all the editing they did.
Right, exactly. And the from the feel of watching it live over the internet, it felt more realistic and it felt the way that it should have. And I really think that NBC should have went ahead and showed it live, because when you're watching it with the rest of the world, instead of being blacked out, whereas the rest of the world gets to see the event live, it's not as special.
And I'll be honest, when I was watching it over a Slingbox connection. And even though I saw the opening ceremonies and saw how amazing everything was, I did want to watch the NBC rebroadcast of it in the evening, because I wanted to see what it looked like in HD on a big screen and not just in a little video window. And NBC really needs to understand that. And again, they need to, if they ever do an Olympics again, they need to really broadcast the entire thing or make it available at a later time so people can see the real uncut, unedited opening ceremonies, because it was an amazing, amazing event.
Yeah, especially with all the thought that the Chinese people and all the color that was into the Olympic ceremony. Oh my God, it looks so great on a high-definition TV. It wasn't even funny.
Oh, the I can't even imagine what the computers look like that they used to control all the lighting in there. I found it fascinating that people in the audience had these, you know, LED lights in their hands that they were using to, you know, to whoop it up and party. But they were controlled in such a way so that they changed colors at certain times, they turned off at certain times. It was just amazing to think of all the technology that went in there to turn these things on, off, change colors, do all these things. It was just a spectacle to behold. And if you missed it, hopefully they'll replay the opening ceremonies at least one time, because it was really, really amazing some of the things they did.
Right, and if you have DirecTV On Demand, you can at least see them relight the cauldron. If you go to the NBC On Demand channel for DirecTV On Demand, you can go ahead and download that there, and that's where you'll be able to find that.
Yeah, it was a good night, and it was a really, really amazing thing there, and hats off to the folks from China who pulled that off. 15,000 people, and none of them had a duplicate role in the thing. They only played one role, and that's all they did for the entire opening ceremonies. What it took to pull that feed off, there were no stage managers yelling at people where to go. There was no tape marks on the floor for people where to stand. They had this thing practiced, and perfected, and it was a beautiful sight.
Right, and you know, Scott, while I've been glued to the Olympics all weekend, I don't think I noticed until I visited this morning the website that we did an upgrade.
Yeah, well, yesterday we actually planned to do an upgrade, and LER, whose real name is Larry Rosenman, was going to upgrade us from, we were using FreeBSD 6.3, and the latest version that's out is 7, and 7 offers a bunch of security upgrades and a bunch of bug fixes that 6.3 had in it. So we decided to upgrade. Unfortunately, with the upgrade, there was one package that didn't upgrade properly, and that caused us to be down for approximately 3 hours. And it was actually a cPanel problem. So cPanel actually dialed into our servers and found the package that was broken and fixed it for us. And we're back online now. And after that was done, I actually kept the board closed for about another hour and did some shuffling of the forums, which hopefully will make it easier for people to find the information they're looking for at Satellite Guys.
Yeah, I know. I saw in the operations forum where a couple of people were like, hey, where's this forum at? Or where's this other forum at that they're looking for? And once when they realized that was a little bit further down the page, they were like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I tried laying it out as realistically as possible to make it, you know, just easier for people to find. And I know, for example, some of the pub members want the pub member forums to be above the Satellite Guys hometown discussions. And, you know, why I'd like to have more people sign up to be pub members so we can, you know, keep the lights on and do all the great things we do here at Satellite Guys. The reason that the operations center is above it, or the hometown forums, is because the operations center. If someone has a problem with Satellite Guys, I want them to be able to easily find where they report a problem and can get help. And that's the reason currently why I have the pub member areas below the hometown discussions. I just want to make sure that people can find the help when they need it.
Well, Scott, you know, speaking of the pub area, you know, this week was a major, major, major newsworthy week as both Dish and DirecTV had their earnings call. And I think it was right on what we had reported to our pub members earlier in the week.
Yeah, we were 100% once again. We're pretty good at this. And, you know, Dish Network came out with their earnings report and, as expected, reported a loss of 25,000 customers, which is not a great thing. And on Monday at noontime, they had the earnings call with Charlie Ergen, and I wanted to reach through my phone and strangle him at times because it sounds like the same Charlie we always hear that, well, I could have been doing a better job. This is something we need to refocus on. Same thing he says on every call, but they never seem to fix these things, and I really wanted to reach through the phone and choke him. You know, Dish has some stuff to do. They got some momentum going. The Wall Street, I guess, was not too harsh on them for their bad earnings, and they still have the momentum going from this big Turbo Dish launch. So let's hope they keep that rolling. Some of the interesting things said on the conference call: Charlie said more HD is coming, and that the EchoStar 11 satellite is moving and will be in place by the end of the month. And if you've been following Satellite Guys, the EchoStar 11 satellite did start moving. I believe it started moving on Friday evening sometime, and it's starting to move to the 110 West orbital location. And once that's there and they get it bolted in and you know, finish testing it out from that spot and start transferring stuff over, we could see new HD within a couple weeks after that. Now, an interesting part about this is they scheduled a tech chat, and I don't have the exact, I'm sorry, not a tech chat, but they scheduled a retailer chat on a Friday. And then on the Monday after that is the Charlie chat. So I have a feeling that we're going to hear some HD announcements on the next retailer chat that will carry over to the Charlie chat on Monday, all because of Echo Star 11 finally reaching its home place. And I don't merely mean to say finally, because I never seen a satellite get launched and put into use so quickly.
Yeah, Scott, I know what you mean about the earnings call, because I was listening on the other line along with you and all the other investors and all that good stuff. And Charlie was actually supposed to be on vacation for this earnings call, but he felt that it was warranted, being that Dish had its first loss and the only loss within the industry other than some Comcast basic cable subs. He felt that it was warranted that he had to be there. And I kind of feel like Charlie's not listening to us, because I keep saying that Charlie needs to get a VOD system that's worth something. Get rid of all those movies that you're charging for. Get some free stuff like Nick on Demand, NBC on Demand, Disney on Demand, stuff like that that you're going to grow a popularity with. Get some real HD that people want. And you know, I kind of feel that he's halfway listening to us, but, you know, we've been screaming this for so long that if he would have done this back in January, right now he could have probably had some positive numbers.
Yeah, and, you know, it's sad that everything has to go ultimately through Charlie, because I do talk to a lot of people at Dish Network, and they have some great ideas, but the folks upstairs, as they say, do not approve of these things and throw these things on the back burner, and it's really costing the company subscriber growth, and it's also costing the company in the goodwill. And speaking of the VOD, I can understand a little bit why they're doing some of the stuff that they're doing. Dish is now really starting to roll out VOD via this Turbo Dish update with the channel 501. Besides having the I Am Legend in 1080p up there, they have I think it's 7 or 8 other movies which are not 1080p, but they appear in your guide like their standard pay-per-view movies, but they're actually video on demand. So it's a pretty smart way of doing it. You know, instead of waiting for your favorite movie to start at, you know, let's say 8 o'clock tonight, you just go to the guide and it looks like the movie's starting now, and you hit the start button and it starts playing, and you don't even realize that it's coming off your hard drive. That's a pretty smart way of doing it. And they're also rolling out with the new software updates to the 622, 722, and 612s. They're offering TV entertainment, where it does have some of those free programming things, and they're also using that a lot for the Olympic stuff.
Yeah, that's great news that they're doing that. I know that's quite similar to DirecTV. And speaking of DirecTV, DirecTV had their earnings call where they announced that they had an addition of subs.
Yep, they had an addition, slowing down a little, but still a positive there. And, you know, they've got all the momentum behind them. They've got, you know, 30 more HD channels coming, next week? And when they get all that stuff going, I mean, they're going to have a lot of positive press going here. And as I said, no matter who you have, DirecTV or Dish Network, right now is a really exciting time to be a satellite subscriber. Besides the HD stuff, which we're all winners about, because when one adds something, they're all adding something lately. But also, the big winning is for the Olympics. If you're an Olympic fan, satellite has more coverage than anybody else that I know of. And both services are offering some incredible interactive applications for the Olympics. And so hats off to them, and it's a great victory for us, the consumer.
Yeah, I think Chase Carey said it best during the conference call, where he said, more is coming. And that
no,
really
no,
is...
No. He said, more is more is coming. That's what he said.
Oh, was it exactly like that, Scott?
I can't stand listening to him give a speech. He's a nice guy and everything. I've met him a couple times, but when he's talking publicly, every other word is and then he spits out a sentence and then it's more ums. But just a little pet peeve of mine, I guess.
Right, but that really it does sum everything up for DirecTV, where they're looking ahead and everything, and more is coming, and that's great news for DirecTV subs.
Right, great news for everybody, because, you know, Dish is not going to sit there and lay there. They're going to continue moving ahead. And as I said, the magic number for the end of the year for both companies is going to be 150.
Yeah, and that's going to be great news. And, you know, I can't wait until we meet that 150, because that means the next magic number after that is going to be 200.
Yep, and it's going to take time to get there, but, HD fans should be really, really happy. I remember when there were only 2 HD channels on Dish Network, and we've really grown since then, and it's only been a couple of years. So here's to the first 2, and here's to the 150 that we're going to have by the end of the year.
You know, Scott, I was really thinking about this earlier today. My wife and I were cleaning out some garage space that we had, and I found some old army uniforms from when I was deployed in Iraq. And this time last year, we only had 10 HD channels on Dish Network and 10 HD channels on DirecTV. They just started rolling out their upgrades here in a couple months from last year, and we've come quite a far from where we were to where we are now, and it's really proud to see how the satellite companies have grown in the past year.
And you'll notice one thing is that no matter how much HD they add, you're going to see people screaming for more. And I've said it before, and it's worth saying again, high-definition television is like sex. The more you have, the more you want, and that's going to continue growing on there.
So, Scott, you know, Eastern Arc is, I hear, is catching a blaze finally, and that they're starting to turn more services on over there. What's going on with Eastern Arc?
Once again, Satellite Guys was there covering the retailer chat this week, and it wasn't too much of an interesting retailer chat except for the mention of Eastern Arc services, and they announced how they're going to do it. And for all you guys waiting for this, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to use it, at least at startup. The reason for this is because you will need the new 3G smart card in your receiver in order to tune to the Eastern Arc services. While the services on 61.5 will be in the old encryption system, at least to the first of the year when they switch over to the new encryption system, they're going to be using the new G3 technology on the 72.7 and the 77 degrees satellite. So if you buy an Eastern Arc dish and you have MPEG-4 receivers, if you do not have the new smart card, you're not going to be able to tune in to the Eastern Arc service.
And that's really, the Eastern Arc right now is geared more towards new customers. So from what I understood was anyone within the past couple months, they already have that new smart card, but anyone before that doesn't?
Right. And if you're concerned or really, really want Eastern Arc service and want to go out and buy new receivers or you want to call dishstore.net, call them up and ask them if on the front label where it gives a description of the satellite receiver, if in the lower left-hand corner there is an A with a circle around it, circle A, if they do have that, that means that receiver has the new smart card technology in it and can be used with the Eastern Arc service. But again, for most people, they're going to be waiting until next year before they can really take advantage of it if you're an existing customer. And again, it's aimed towards the new customers. So if you're a current customer and do want to use the Eastern Arc service instead, you're probably going to have to pay out of your own pocket to get your equipment upgraded and buy the dish and everything to get on Eastern Arc. But if you really want everything in MPEG-4, and I'm hearing that the MPEG-4 stuff looks really good, including the standard definition stuff, even though it's lower resolution than what they're using now on Dish Network, but with the less compression there, you're not noticing it. So if you want to spend the money, you know, go ahead and do it.
Speaking of spending money, you know, dishstore.net, give Claude a call, and he'll give you a good deal on a dish system. And all those proceeds also help support satelliteguys.us.
That's correct. And there's your free plug, Claude. Actually, Claude gets a plug at the end of the show, too, since he's listed as the sponsor of the show. So dishstore.net is always good guys there. And while we're talking about dishstore.net, let's also mention something else here. On Monday night, this coming Monday night at, I believe it's 9 p.m. Eastern time. Is it 9 p.m. or 8 p.m.? I believe it's 9 p.m. It's a tech chat with Mark Jackson and Dan Minnick. And they'll be talking about all the new HD, I'm sure. They'll probably be talking about the new 1080p and showing you how that all works. And I don't think they're going to really mention anything about Eastern Arc this time around. But who knows? These guys always have some surprises up their sleeve.
Ooh, so you mean we get to see a technical portion with Leslie Harper, possibly?
Maybe. Sometimes I keep her off. I don't know why, because from the feedback online, a lot of people just tune in to see Leslie. So they should play that up all they can, because nobody wants to see, you know, Dan and Mark sitting behind the desk sweating their, you know, sweat rolling down their face. They want to see Leslie up there talking tech.
You know, I vote that we remove Mark and put Leslie in Mark's spot.
I would agree with that 100%.
So, well, that's the music, Scott.
Well, we got one more thing before we hit the music. Oh. Real quick, is the Dish, the big rumor of the week that I want to put to rest. Dish Network and DirecTV merging. Not happening. Both sides say no go. So, if you heard anything about that, don't worry about it. Neither side wants to merge right now. They do want to, you know, possibly share some spectrum up there, but no merger. Let's put that one to rest right now.
All right, now I can hit the play button again on the music, and, you know, it's definitely been a great podcast, and, you know, we'll see you next real soon, and don't forget to vote for us on Podcast Alley.
Tongue twister time.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.